goes for goal and finishes off the PSG victory.
Nuno Mendes est lancé, Nuno Mendes navigue, Nuno Mendes passe devant Cuadrado, le tir, oh il est beau celui-là, le but de Nuno Mendes.
You know the football, it is what it is.
Le premier but de Ronald Colomboani avec le Paris Saint-Germain, ah quelle joie.
Hello and welcome to PSG Review, the show dragged away from the warm fireside where I was minding my business to address some nonsense against every plan I had previously made for today. My name is Mikko, great to have you listening to PSG Review, always much appreciated, and you can check me out on Twitter at PSG Review Pod and Instagram and TikTok at PSG Review. But the reason why I'm talking to you right now, just 2 days after the last episode, which was released on Thursday, a great conversation I had with Charles Zhou from the PSG fan club in Toronto. I really recommend it if you haven't yet listened to it. He has some really great insight from many PSG related subjects. But the reason I'm talking to you right now is because of what happened halftime and thereafter at Stade Louis II in the Principality of Monaco. The full context of the match was that it was the last Ligue 1 match before the hugely important Champions League trip to San Sebastian to play the second leg against Real Sociedad. That will be next Tuesday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, not a long rest, especially since the team is going to be traveling on Monday. And Monaco is currently playing very well, and away matches at their mini stadiums have been particularly difficult for us for some years now. So there was a need to rotate, but not too much so that we would stay competitive. I mean, there's a healthy buffer on top of the league on table, but nothing that could not be undone if the tide should change. So couldn't get into this match with any remarkable arrogance, that's for sure. The key context for the match, however, is that Kylian Mbappe has all but officially announced his departure from PSG. The signs are clear to see. It's not really under debate anymore. And the coach Enrique has mentioned before that PSG needs to learn to play without Kylian Mbappe. He repeated it after this match again, perhaps even with less room to interpret. But let me not get ahead of myself. And Monaco, of course, is Kylian Mbappe's old home turf, his former team, and a place that undoubtedly has some, even probably quite a lot of significance for him. And this match could have also been seen as a part of his sort of goodbye tour in France. I mean, it shouldn't be part of anything like that. No such thing should take place on PSG's time and money. But for context, you could, I guess, see it in that light too. As the team arrived, Kylian Mbappe entered the stadium wearing sunglasses. It was not a sunglass scenario in general, but he, of course, has a big sponsorship with the shades manufacturer, and he does what he pleases. It's none of my business what these guys do or wear, but it was an anomaly. That's the thing about it. As people, we try to understand things and we look for patterns. Patterns in behavior and elsewhere. So it's easy to wonder what significance there was to it. Perhaps none, probably none. But when every question and no answers are in the air, things like this, they catch our attention. Mbappe had also been substituted off in the previous matches and even rested against Nantes, which would have been unheard of before his internal announcement of leaving, as it reportedly had happened by then. He had lost his leverage and he had lost his privilege, so we were probably all looking at his behavior with a keen eye. It's also a media spectacle, of course. I don't know what anybody else was wearing because I never saw any other footage beyond this one of Kylian Mbappe. I mean, if Vitinha was wearing Lederhosen and Asensio Dutch wooden clogs, I'd be none the wiser because I didn't see that. But then again, if they had, we probably would have known this too. But I'm not recording this episode because of sunglasses. Not at all. Just thinking about these telltale signs. It wasn't clear if Mbappe would start this match or not, but in the end, he was in the starting 11 and he was in his old spot on the left side. Very importantly, to me, this really is the key here. In the absence of Marquinhos, he was wearing the captain's armband. I don't personally think he should wear that anymore. I have talked about it before. Being a captain is not about being the best player on the pitch or in the team, but it is about leadership and values. It's about being the person who stands up and takes responsibility and does all that while representing the club. We shouldn't have players with one foot elsewhere, anywhere near the armband, and as we were talking about it in the last episode with Charles Cho, his behavior in the last match against Rennes was already evidence enough as he was being substituted. He just sort of threw away the armband towards Vitinha, who then went to give it to Danilo. Now, you can of course say that this is such a small thing and we shouldn't get stuck in such minutiae as there are bigger issues to think about, but the truth is, and you and I fully know this well, that respect is often about the small details that in and of itself should have been enough to say that this guy is not fit captain, on top of which, even without it, I would have already said it. And I did say it online back then that while he should play as he best serves the collective, he should not have been captain even against Rennes, because not only is he not committed to PSG, which arguably has been the case for years now, but he's actively committed to not be part of it. There's a difference in checking out your available options and having your backs backed already. He had a very lukewarm first half football-wise, after which he was taken off by Luis Enrique. Not a great controversy in that the match wasn't going very well. The first half was pretty bad. Monaco was really good and PSG wasn't. And we were really suffering, and we have this huge match coming soon. So rotation, even amongst the key players, is hardly supposed to be a great trauma. It's not supposed to be a controversial thing to substitute him off every now and again, especially before big matches. He also had taken quite a big hit during the first half, so there was that too, but apparently there was no injury or even particular concern that there could be one. It was a tactical and strategic substitution which the manager is allowed to make, and indeed he has to make them all the time. Mbappe didn't come out of the locker room with his teammates, but only after the match had already restarted, and by the look of it, he had already had a shower and changed his clothes. In Monaco Stadium, you don't really walk from the locker room directly to the bench, in that they're not next to each other. So Mbappe came from the tunnel talking to his phone, giving a big wink to the cameraman, the TV, and he walked past the ultras, waved at them, and then climbed to the executive box with his mother and whoever else was there. So, let me get this straight. The man who started the match as a captain didn't stay with his team, but went directly to the stands to watch the match like a member of the audience, albeit a very privileged one at that. Now, you can say that I'm overreacting. You can say that who cares, or that it's not worth our while, or you can just say that you're tired of all this and don't want to get into new problems, and I fully get that. I also slept the night and allowed some distance between this moment that I'm talking to you and my immediate feelings about it last night, but this is not something that a captain does. Even if you are not a captain, this is still unheard of. It's a terrible look. It's inexcusable, actually, no matter what the context is. And I will get into some excuses in a moment. But just imagine if Lionel Messi would have done this even without having been the captain. He would have been substituted and then just sort of left the team and go into the stands to watch the match with his wife or somebody else. Or if Neymar would have done that, or actually anybody else. We cannot have these double standards, when it comes to these values, if we want to have any values. We can't normalize this type of behavior. It simply just is not right. You just don't do it, not for any reason, because football, of course, is a team sport. So when you as an individual player, you know that most, if not all, eyes are on you, then you know that if you do this, you do it at the peril of the collective, your teammates. You're sort of selling out your teammates in a manner of speaking. The guy who 45 minutes earlier was supposedly leading on the pitch just now climbed and to the audience and left the team. I don't know why these things happen. I sort of also partially blame the hyper-individualistic culture where the idea of community is so incredibly neglected that even team sport is understood through individuals and not teams. It's a very sort of Reagan-Thatcherite politics. PSG must never again allow any player to think that they're above the collective. We have created this problem ourselves. This is our monster that is now eyeing us through his sunglasses and smirking. Soon after the match was over, there was a report that said that Luis Enrique would have only said a few words to Mbappe to sub him off, sort of like the insinuation was that it was it was impolite or unpleasant or that it wasn't done in a right way by the coach. But the point is that it doesn't really make any difference what Luis Enrique said to Kylian Mbappe. Kylian didn't do this to the coach alone. He did this to the institution that is PSG. He did this to the badge, to all of us. So even if Lucho would have told him to F off during the halftime, which he didn't, just to be clear, but even if he did, this still is not right. And later after the match, Kylian Mbappe's camp had explained, according to RMC journalist Fabrice Hawkins, that there is no controversy and that they respect the choices of the coach, and Kylian is fully focused on the trip to Real Sociedad. There's no controversy, again, this is repeated, over the fact that he's in the stands. He had showered and was in street clothes and shoes. It was a leader of the club who spontaneously led him to the stands with the official PSG delegation. So this is the official version. I mean, it really looked like that. It looked very sort of calculated move or whatever. But you can believe whatever you want. From the Mbappe camp, this is nevertheless what they are doing. But I'm quite tired of this gaslighting, because there's a right thing to do and then there's a wrong thing to do. And in his position, he simply needs to know the difference and choose better. Right? Basically, depending on which information do you trust. Either Luis Enrique said to a few words to him and was rude, or alternatively, he took the time during the break of that match that was going pretty terribly the first half and gave him ideas of how to conduct himself on the second as a captain or just a member of a team. It's not even about the captaincy, but it's just something that sort of underlines the issue. Kylian Mbappe should know how to behave. He should know how to conduct himself. This is not rocket science. I'm trying to make sense of the situation. I would say that Kylian Mbappe needs to be used only in the way that serves the collective from now on. I have said this before, but he is a PSG player and we're paying him a lot of money and he's a great player, but his footballing ability should be used to serve the collective, as is the case with every and any football player, because this is a team sport. He should play as it makes sense, but being a captain is about leadership and values. And I think that he has now proven to be unworthy captain. I think that was already clear before this match. It was already clear before Rennes match, but I think that now it's sort of beyond any kind of debate. Certainly to me it is. Will he be the top scorer in Europe? You know what? I don't care. I don't care if he will be the player of the season. It's completely material to me. And will he win the Ballon d'Or? I genuinely, I don't know. I don't care. It's none of my business. What can he do to help the team? That is all that I'm interested in from here on in. I think this is the key thing now. I think that the collective Ultra Paris, our Parisian Ultras, will decide how this will go for the rest of the season. It's not the club, it's not even Enrique, although his selections will certainly play part in that, and it's not Mbappe either. All of them have to react to what the fans do, because this will decide the mood in the home games. If they give him a warning to not mess around with us, not mess around with the club, not mess around with the badge, it can solve a big part of the issue, if not the issue entirely, if they communicate it through their channels or with their banners, that the expectation is to end this chapter in club's history with grace and class, or else it will get unpleasant, you know, whistling and booing. That could be enough, because Mbappe has witnessed in previous years even bigger stars than him being whistled and booed. So that could stop him on his tracks to refocus on us for a few more months. Also, this is his hometown, so maybe it's going to be emotionally even more difficult thing for him potentially than it was to somebody like Messi, who genuinely didn't care about Paris one way or another. Paris is just a place where he comes to pick up his, you know, annual Ballon d'Or, but it's not the city that he has any kind of like a connection as such. So if the Ultras turn against Kylian Mbappe, that will be the end of it then. I don't think that they will necessarily, but if they do, then kind of like we can end this conversation, and it's just going to be that type of end of the spring. And if they remain cordial, as they pretty much have been so far, then this is what we can expect. We can just expect this type of behavior until the match day last. And I can't tell them what to do. And with the sacrifices that they make to support this team, I don't really criticize them, whatever they decide, but they can really make it or break it. I do, of course, remember that 1 year ago in the same place in Monaco, our captain, Marquinhos, made some sorry excuses about the difficulty of having to be apart from their families and how he didn't appreciate the criticisms by the ultras as PSG had dropped a disaster class of sorts there. And he wasn't let off the hook for saying those things. He had to face his responsibilities, and that's not even to say that family isn't important, but go and do something you can do from home if this is an issue you're not prepared to live with, because there are, of course, people who have to compromise their families and have far fewer digits in their payslip. It's in bad taste, of course. So now it's time to see how this Mbappe situation is dealt with by the fans with this as a backdrop. What I would do if I was them, and I am not them, but if what I would do if I was them is to say that this is not how PSG captain behaves, and he needs to respect his contract to its end. He needs to respect it, whether he's a captain or whether he's just an ordinary player as he now is. Because we have March, April, May, June. PSG will still pay 4 astronomical installments of salary to Kylian Mbappe before he leaves. Yes, there's a talk about him sort of like letting go of some loyalty bonuses and things like that. It is true that PSG has created this monster and gave him just a silly contract last time around with some kind of ungodly amounts of money. And that was something that they did as they volunteered that. That wasn't something that nobody was having a gun on their head. So there's something that PSG needs to take responsibility of its own actions, the club leadership and the directors and such. But the truth is, even with that, PSG is paying Kylian Mbappe one of the best salaries in the world of sports, so he has to realize that he also has to play nice for the time being. It's not a one-way street. What makes this particularly frustrating is that this shouldn't have to be this difficult. There would be a way to do this nicely, so that we could all have our fond memories from these 7 years. The ups and downs, the remarkable statistics that he has, nobody is questioning those. The great performances, it doesn't have to end badly. It can be very cordial and respectful. I guess what really doesn't help is that in the bigger picture, in this world we are living, we have people in very, very high places, much higher places than Kylian Mbappe or even Nasri Al-Khelaifi or any of those, who have no interest in de-escalations when things are going wrong. It seems that everyone wants to just sort of clash for ego or money or some geopolitical end, whatever. And no one is taking a moment to say, how can we make things better in general and not just in a way that I get exactly what I want and screw everyone else? And in that context, Mbappe's antics are entirely inconsequential. But somehow, it's in that same tradition. It's that same philosophy. He might genuinely feel like he is bigger than the collective. And he might genuinely feel that he is bigger than our badge, the institution, as it is. And like mentioned earlier, this is a mess of PSG's own making, but there could have been a better way to go about it. We all know that. It would not have been very complicated. There's a saying, and I'm not quite sure who to attribute it to. The internet has few different possible origins, but either way, it goes like this. When you're accustomed to privilege, equality feels like oppression. Kylian Mbappe has been given every privilege in Paris. He had a whole project built around him. His friends were brought in, and he was even made a penalty taker when Neymar was available. Now, there are many criticisms of Neymar that you can make, but not one of them is about his penalty taking. Mbappe gets invitations by the president Macron and is treated like a statesman. Not all of these things are even about PSG. So now that he is treated like just another player in the service of the collective, it can feel unfair. I get it, but it isn't unfair. It's just the way that it was supposed to be all along. And I will say this, I have many criticisms of the football media and I express them fairly regularly, as you might know by now, but whatever is said about Mbappe after this match by them, not just in France, but globally, he has brought it all to himself. How can you be the main talking point of the match after being subbed off after a lukewarm first half? 45 minutes of playing. This behavior has been notified undoubtedly by the leaders and structures of the clubs, or even just the club, that are after his next signature. And I doubt that anyone is excited about a player who chose to fly this close to the sun. They'll sign him. Of course they will. I mean, someone will, and most likely that is Florentino Perez. But this is a red flag, and Real Madrid and its fans, who have already felt betrayed by Mbappe for whatever reason, rightly or wrongly before, might have less patience for this level of arrogance than our club and our ultras, who have also a lot of gratitude for the past years. I take one point from this match. It was a draw against Monaco. It could have been much worse. Also, it could have been a lot better. The second half was pretty good and PSG could have won this, but how Monaco wasted so many chances is beyond me. I think that they should be quite frustrated by that. But of course, Donnarumma was playing very well. And now after this match, it is for Luis Enrique to do a full analysis of this situation and make the call on how to play next Tuesday when we go to defend a 2-goal lead. It's not just an ordinary match, it's a match where we are already leading with 2 goals and there's 90 minutes to play. So it's not a match where we desperately need to win. We can actually lose that match with 1 goal and still go through. I don't want PSG to lose that match with 1 goal. All I'm saying is that this is not a normal match. And in this mess, let it be said that Nuno Mendes was much more comfortable in the ball last night than he was in the previous match. And it's so great to have him back. It's so great to have him back. And I really look forward to seeing him doing even better than he currently is. And Lucas Peraldo, now he's an interesting player. He's a baller. He was used earlier as a left back where he wasn't very good. But he's a very good central defender. Of course, he's technically very able and he's very calm. It's quite fun to watch him doing, you know, interesting and technically beautiful things under pressure. That's pretty nice. He's still a little bit naive at times, which is quite understandable. I mean, the man has been in Europe, not just in Paris, but in Europe for a few months. So these are very early days, but it was a good match by him too. Nordi Mukiele also did individually well. I mean, with Peraldo, they were not perfectly in sync, but Mukiele hasn't played centre-back much, if at all, this season. And like I mentioned, Donnarumma was great. I think he was the man of the match. He just had so many great saves. And Ugarte, Manuel Ugarte, still a little bit of a hot and cold player, but mainly hot last night. There were many, many great performances that were unfortunately overshadowed by some foolishness. It's really a shame. With Kylian Mbappe, PSG plays like one star and then backup dancers. And without him, we are more a team. Just is what it is. It's just that at his best, he is that good that it's okay. But it's never been a sustainable solution. It's never been that. And now it doesn't have to be. And it can't be because this is not what we have in our future. He is a world-class goal scorer, but without him, we are much less predictable and much more balanced. And it is true that we didn't score a goal with him or without him. So you could say that, okay, well, you know, no difference. But if you were watching that match, the first half was terrible and the second half was much better. It wasn't just about the attack, of course. There were a lot of other things. And like we're talking in the last episode with Charles Chou, Luis Enrique is a coach that is able to make some changes. He's able to make a difference in the middle of the match. And that is something that we should take as a positive and cherish. So there is that. It's also noteworthy when you're watching PSG in a bigger, longer time span that we have lost a lot of great assist providers in recent years. Players like Angel Di Maria, Marco Verratti, Neymar, so on and so forth. And it shows in the passing when we are in attack. There's a surprising amount of sloppy passes, often not fully catching the pace of the runner, which then sort of compromises the forward momentum, compromises a handful of otherwise promising attempts to score a goal. So that's something that the team needs to still work on. And we aren't there yet as a team, even if there are many positives. Right now, we just need to focus on the right thing. In the middle of all this ongoing circus, and for his own sake, but also for the sake of this collective, Kylian Mbappe needs to once again put his head down and focus on PSG until he has other things to focus on. He is still our player, whether he is on the bench or on the pitch. I had not planned to record this episode, but sometimes you have to react to what is happening, and I also felt like I needed to get this out of my chest and understand it. And the way that I have grown to understand and organize my thoughts about PSG is through PSG Review. Hopefully you found it useful and value-adding. My name is Mikko. Thank you for listening. Tuesday is a big night for us. It's then that we need to be our best selves. But until that, peace.